Chapter 18. Pepper went to the reception hall with the others, feeling shy at first, and then astonished and happy. Kid after kid told her how awesome the UDM act had been. Grown-ups, too. Ms. Starr couldn't stop beaming. Yes, such amazing students. She gestured for Pepper to draw closer. When Pepper did, the teacher smiled playfully and opened her unusually large pocketbook. You did very well controlling your fiercing under pressure, Carrot said from within. She was nestled on a blanket and wearing a bow around her neck for the occasion. And it goes without saying that your percussion was just beautiful. Carrot, have you been crying? Pepper asked. Carrot huffed. Crying? Me? Absolutely not. Then her enormous eyes welled with tears right there in front of Pepper, and she swiped at them with her paw. Oh, maybe just a bit. It was very moving, much better than the American Rabbit Breeders annual competition. Pepper's sister Taffy barreled into her. Next came Graham and Jam, then her parents. Honey, that was spectacular, said Pepper's mom. We're so proud, said Pepper's dad. Mrs. Winterbottom came over next. You were wonderful, she gushed, and you played Crazy Daisy Shame. You know Everyday Cake? Asked Pepper, surprised. Sure, they're my favorite band, said Mrs. Winterbottom, winking. You're a star, Pep-Pep, Taffy said. She wrinkled her brows into a sweet little knot. But where's Zinnia? I saw a violet, but not Zinnia. Zinnia, Pepper clapped her hand to her head. I've got to run, she told her family. Love you so much. I'll be back in a minute. She ran out of the reception and down the hall. Zinnia, she called as she jogged. Zinnia? Zinnia wasn't in the UDM classroom. She wasn't in the fifth grade flares room either, or the flare lab, or the bathroom. Where was she? Then Pepper tried the supply closet. Her hideout. Nori's hideout. The hideout she'd shared with only Carrot and Ms. Starr. It was dark in the closet. Darker than usual because the lights were off in the hallway. Pepper had never been to the closet at night. She fumbled for the light switch, but before she found it, she heard a scratchy sound. Zinnia held up a rolled piece of paper, the end of which burned brightly. I come in here to hide out sometimes, Zinnia said, to get away from Lacey, or just to think. Pepper flipped on the light, and Zinnia blew out her flaming paper. I come in here too, said Pepper. Really? Yeah. Pepper reached up to the back of a shelf and pulled out a half-empty bag of Choco fire trucks. See? I have a candy stash. Wow. Zinnia held out her hand, and Pepper shook some trucks into it, then took some for herself. I'm sorry I said all those things, Pepper said. It's okay, Zinnia said. I know how it must have looked. But just so you know, I was never a spy. I know that now. Elliot and Nori told me everything. I just wanted to help. I was so nervous with everyone watching me warm the instruments that I overdid it. Most people underflare when they're learning, but I overflare, which is much more dangerous. I'm glad no one got hurt. I should have trusted you, but with magic like mine, I've gotten used to people not wanting me around, so it was easy to believe you weren't really my friend. I get it. Thanks, Pepper said. And I understand why you thought what you thought after everything I did earlier this year. Zinnia chewed on her lip. Anyway, how did it go? Your number. I bet you rocked it. Pepper slid her back along the wall and sat beside her. We rocked it, she said. Elliot made icicles that I could use for percussion, and Nori turned into a katingo at the end. That's great. Pepper jiggled Zinnia's arm. Thanks for talking me out of being so nervous. No problem. Come out, okay? Pepper said. Taffy's asking for you, and they're announcing the winners at the end of the reception. Zinnia stood. She grabbed Pepper's hand and pulled her up too. Nori still hadn't seen Father, Hawthorne, or Dahlia. When the performance had ended, her main worry was piano backs. She knew that he still couldn't turn himself back. First thing was to help Nurse Riley wheel piano backs down to the nurse's office. Then she'd dragged Coach to the nurse's to help with post-fluxing nutrition. Nori finally arrived back at the hall while the reception was still in full swing. "Do you want some punch?" Ms. Starr said, appearing behind Nori as she hovered at the edge of the crowd. "I'd love to meet your father." They found Father, Hawthorne, and Dahlia sitting near the front of the auditorium. Dahlia leapt up and hugged Nori. "You guys sounded great," Dahlia exclaimed. It wasn't quite the same as her saying your contingo was great, but Nori hugged her sister back. Hawthorne hugged Nori, too. He and Dahlia were dressed up. He was in a suit jacket and tie. Dahlia had on a knee-length dress with a white collar. Father was wearing his second-best suit.
"I love seeing you with your friends," Hawthorne said. "I'm so glad you found such good people here."
That, also, wasn't quite the same as your Katingo was great, but Nori hugged Hawthorne back, too. "I'm glad you came," she told them.
"We got lost," said Hawthorne. "Just ask Aunt Margot if you want proof. We texted her 4 times because we were driving around trying to find the school. There's something weird with the address. Artichoke Avenue, Artichoke Street. It turns out they're not the same."
"Father got lost?" Nori almost couldn't believe it was true. She turned to face Father. Suddenly, her jeans and purple t-shirt seemed like the wrong things to be wearing. Her hair felt big and out of control.
"Father," she said, pasting on a smile, "thank you for coming to my show. It's good to see you. May I introduce my teacher, Ms. Starr? Ms. Starr, this is my father, Dr. Stone Horace."
Father reached out and shook Ms. Starr's hand first, then Nori's.
"I'm glad to see you looking so healthy," he said.
"Thank you for the rain boots."
"You're welcome. Is there anything else you need for the winter? I'll have your cold weather clothes sent over and give Margot some funds to take you shopping. You look like you've grown."
"You must be extremely proud of Nori," Ms. Starr put in, placing her arm around Nori's shoulders.
"Well," he said, "I don't use the word proud lightly."
Nori wanted to hide her face just then, but Ms. Starr pressed on.
"Have you considered admitting upside-down magic students to Sage Academy?" she asked Father. "The program is new and could use public support from well-known educators like yourself. Lots of school districts are thinking about creating UDM classrooms, but many haven't done it yet."
Nori's father looked flustered. Then he puffed out his chest and cleared his throat.
"Ms. Starr, I'm glad Nori's getting an education here, and I still have hopes that it will help her. What I saw tonight suggests that she's still not capable of traditional fluxing for more than a couple seconds."
"The Katingo was on purpose, Father," said Nori.
Father arched his eyebrows.
"It was, truly," said Nori. "I could have stayed a flamingo, but I wanted to show everyone..."
Her voice trailed off. When Father said nothing, Ms. Starr said,
"Ah,
I didn't realize."
"You didn't realize what?"
Nori's father said.
"That you were a small-minded man," said Ms. Starr.
"I suppose I won't change your mind, then. Small minds are often unable to make turnarounds. I'm glad Nori didn't inherit that from you." Nori gasped. Father just stared. Ms. Starr drew herself up. "Goodbye, Dr. Horace." She walked back toward the stage. Nori turned toward her family.
"Thank you for coming," she said.
Then she hugged Hawthorne and Dahlia and followed Ms. Starr. Yes, Nori walked away from Father, away from her brother and sister, and went instead with Ms. Starr. It was a hard thing to do, but it felt right. The auditorium was full. Principal Gonzalez made the announcements. Nori stood at the back with her teacher.
"Let's start with the 8th grade. First place goes to the Flyers."
The 8th grade Flyers cheered. Then they all raised themselves a foot off the ground and pumped their arms in the air.
They had staged a human circus for their act and had flown from pretend cannons. The Flickers won 7th grade. Their act had involved ladders and a live tic-tac-toe match. The Flickers were dressed in X and O sweaters and appeared with each move. The Fuzzies won 6th grade. Their act involved 15 groundhogs who'd actually listened to them. The groundhogs had made a pyramid. Principal Gonzalez paused for effect.
And the 5th grade winners of the Dunwiddle Show-Off are...
There was a drum roll.
The 5th grade Flares!
Nori's heart sank. Boo. Drat. The Sparkies had won. They had been pretty amazing, but still, they were Sparkies.
And now, Principal Gonzalez said, the prize for most original show-off for the entire school goes to...
Nori held her breath.
The 5th grade upside-down magic class!
Hooray! Everyone in UDM cried and hugged one another, except Bax, who was still in the nurse's office. He was no longer a piano and well on the way to recovery, but still feeling a little off-key. After the ceremony, everyone went out on the lawn in front of the school. Hawthorne and Dahlia found Nori and came over. I miss you, said Dahlia, squashing Nori in her arms. I wish you could come home.
I miss you too, said Hawthorne.
Nori stole a glance at Father, who was checking his phone. He wore an expression she'd never seen on him before. Shame. I think I am home, she said. She watched their faces to see if they understood. But I miss you too. Maybe you can come stay with us for a weekend sometime.
That would be fun, Hawthorne said.
Would we eat Fruity Doodles for breakfast? Dahlia asked.
You can eat them straight out of the box, said Nori.
She said goodbye and went to find Aunt Margo and Figs. Her aunt squealed when she saw her.
Nori, that was incredible! That was beyond incredible. You are amazing. Such style.
Flamingo, huh, kid?
Figs said, patting her shoulder.
I could never get my birds to go right. Never. Always had trouble with the beak, even in my high school bird intensive. Well done.
Thanks, she said. I think we should go for a celebratory ice cream, Aunt Margo said.
Do you want to ask your friends to join us?
Yes, Nori said. I'd love that. So Nori, Figs, and Margo went to the sweet shop with Elliot's family, Bax and his dad, Marigold and her grandparents, Pepper and her enormous family, and even Coach, who didn't eat ice cream but drank a peppermint tea. They filled up the whole shop and got double scoops of ice cream, and everyone was loud and happy. Elliot refroze the ice creams when they started to melt.